Afnun Tet, and we're in the middle of some of the most fundamental issues in the dinim of Tashlumim. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out today incredibly, completely new approaches to even things that we thought were long settled, like the question of what's the meaning of Meitav Sadeyu. I mean, unbelievable things. So, because this is the parak that really forces us to confront how we estimate the values. And we had a number of rather complex issues yesterday. Let me just remind you. There were two basic markers in the Gemara as to whether the concept of basada, which is where we're estimating the value of a thing within the context of something larger, whether that is of necessity a entire sada, or whether it just means we take, as Chizkiya says, shishim, whatever it is. So that all the Torah is trying to tell us is that it's not fair to look at the thing itself. You've got to look at it in context. It doesn't mean necessarily in a context of a massive field. Within that machloket, we had a very, very important machloket, Rashi and Tosafot. According to Rashi, there are two stages that the Gemara is discussing. The Mishnah tells us that it's a din of sa'a, so that we take a normative sada as being a sa'a, and then we estimate how much would a sada like that be worth before and after the damages that were caused. And that's the way that we work out a fair way of looking at the damage, because it's unfair to look at damage within a very large field, unfair to look at the damage in a very small field. After all, we're talking about something that's not yet on the market. And therefore, we take a saw. The question in the Gemara yesterday, says Rashi, was only the question of, but how do you evaluate the saw? I mean, a saw is a very expensive amount of land to buy just on its own, because only a poor person's going to buy it, and the poor have to pay through the nose. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. The poor get poorer. So comes along the Gemara now to discuss a second tier of estimation within other things. And that is, we take a reasonably sized field, which would be somewhere in the middle of market values on land, and then take a saw of that to evaluate it, not to sell the saw on its own. Now we've established how much a saw is worth. Okay, betoch the saw, what's the difference between the saw at that price before and after? Very simple. Problem with that is, says Tosfos, there ain't no such animal that was ever indicated, not in a pasuk, not in a mishnah, of a first one shuma of what a saw is betoch something else, and then a shuma of what the nezek is betoch the saw. Therefore, Tosfos says there's a completely different issue over here. There need to be two benchmarks. That's the point. One benchmark is the value of the damage within the context of something else. Fine. That's true. But that's considering and pretending that the only issue that we need to establish is the difference within that particular larger thing of the before and after. But that's not true, because it's very naive to think that the size, the actual size, the objective size of the damage that was done is a meaningless issue. It's like saying, I mean, take a look at the United States of America. Who's going to notice taking down two buildings in New York? I mean, that's a ridiculous statement. It's all very nice to talk about it overall in the American economy and the American population and so on and so forth. What's 3,000 or 4,000 people dead? What's a couple of big buildings? That's a crazy thing to say. Same thing is true when it comes to nezek asbestosis. It's all very nice to talk about a broader area that you're going to estimate. But how about the objective fact of the impact of the nezek itself? Therefore, there's two completely different issues. One is the question of the area of the shuma that the Mishnah didn't even discuss. That's what we're coming now to discuss. Hechi Shaimina, 60 times as much, 30 times as much in the field versus the Sa'a, or Chizkiya, 60 times as much of the damage itself. That's fine. What the Mishnah was talking about was a completely different benchmark. The Mishnah was talking about the objective size of the damage as if one Sa'a was damaged. First, figure that out. One Sa'a within the larger field, whatever that is, 60, 30, that was about locus. Once you've established what would damage of that size be within a larger field, give that a value, and then say, okay, how much of that damage did this guy do? Did he destroy a whole sa'ah? Then pay it. Half a sa'ah? Then pay it. 13.6% of a sa'ah? Then pay it. But you've got to have also benchmarks in two directions. You need a benchmark in how to prorate the sa'ah, and you also need a benchmark in the size of the actual damage, that then you start prorating for the actual case. So we had two very different understandings of what the Sa'ah and the Mishnah was referring to. And this completely changes the approach to the Sugya. All right, so once again, machlokas, I'm repeating this for you. Shouldn't have walked in late. Machlokas, now, as to what the size is of the overall prorated area, according to Rashi, only to establish the value of the sa'ah within which you're going to establish the before and after. According to Tosis, no, there's no such animal. That is the bir b'steyachet that we're talking about. The sa'ah that's mentioned in the Mishnah is to establish a completely different benchmark, the size of the theoretical damage in the field. Pretend a sa'ah was damaged. Now go and figure out how much of that sa'ah did you really damage. Yes, Abba.
We want to go to the bigger side because the smaller side is a bit
too big. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the benchmark for the damage or the benchmark for the prorated value within the larger area? It's two different issues, says Tosfos. The Mishnah was talking about a benchmark size damage, a saw. I don't care how much he damaged. Pretend first he damaged the saw, because the noticeability of the damage per se, and then the context of that size damage within a larger area, both have to be taken into consideration. So the Mishnah was talking about the benchmark of the theoretical damage, always a saw of damage first. And the Gemara was talking about, and what's the size of the overall area that we're going to look at that damage within? According to Rashi, no. We always look at the damage within the saw. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. This is a separate discussion. How do we evaluate that saw? Because, I mean, it's not fair to just sell a saw. That's very expensive. Okay, two different issues. Now, we were in the middle yesterday of an interesting case where somebody damages himself, as another mamazik, cuts down a guy's palm tree. The Resh Galusa Paskin, you got to pay. He saw that was worth 100 together with two other palm trees. He says, well, now that piece, we're going to split into three pieces. There were three palm trees. You pay one third of it. The guy walks out in a huff. That's no way. That's not a Jewish law. Comes to Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman gives him one out of 60. Which is basically the way Hiskia saw things yesterday. One out of 60. So then comes along now, and this is where we were at. Rava says to Reb Nachman, this business of one out of 60, thank you very much, this business of one out of 60 is a special din that the Torah gave to a Maman Amazit where it says the word Ba Sadeh, Bisde Acher, which is the only reason that we understand that we've got to look at a broader context. Where do you ever see by Maman Amazik, by Adam Amazik, that we would give it the din of Maman Amazik? That was Rava's time. Abaya attacked Rava by saying, who is to say that the din of how to estimate value is a halacha in Maman Amazik? Maybe it's halacha in defining the nature of damage. What gives you the right to say that it's a special kula, similar to the idea of the difference between Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalom, the difference between Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYachid? Doesn't fit into that. The Torah, when it defines the nature of Tashlumi, is defining the nature of estimating damage. Because remember, back at the beginning of Masechta, we already noted the concept of the irreplaceability of what it is that was damaged. We're trying to figure out some analog to that thing, which we call value. It's not the thing. So the Torah is defining now what level of value is the correct analog if you're going to pay up. Why should it matter if it's Adam HaMazik or Shar HaMazik? I think, says Abaya, I know where you got it from, but you're wrong. Where did you get it from? You got it from being concerned by the case in which it says, Beferish, in a Braita, that an Adam HaMazik that destroys somebody's vineyard, even though it's only Simadar, it's not yet ready to go to market. Simadar is a smaller stage, a very, very small stage of just recognizable grapes on the vine. So it says over there that we take a look at what it was worth before and after. That's all it says. And it doesn't say a word about taking a look what a bigger vineyard of 60 times the size, doesn't say anything like that. It says take a look at the vineyard itself, whatever the heck it is, and now erect it. Let's take a look at the difference in value. Huh? Now that led you to the conclusion that when it comes to a mazik, we don't talk about shishim. Says Abaye, no. Because if that to you is a raya, I'm going to show you that there's plenty of cases by Shor HaMazik that we also don't discuss the shishim. That's taken for granted. The main focus is on, do we look at the pre, do we look at the karka, and so on and so forth. Then the braita leaves it to you to figure out, and then how do we determine the value of X or Y or Z? In this case, the X is the karen. That's fine. That could be within Shishim. It could be within Tzor. I don't know, whatever Shita you hold of. But the Braita never discusses, or doesn't necessarily discuss, the mode of arriving at that value. So therefore, you jump to a conclusion based on a faulty assumption. And today, we're going to see where Abaya can show us, indeed, that exactly the same thing appears by Shor HaMazik as appears by Adam HaMazik, in which we ignore, because it's not our focus, we ignore the question of the bigger area that we're prorating. Here, says Abaya. Now let's take a look at the Lushan once again of Abaya that we saw yesterday, which is about a quarter of the way up with the daf. Omerle Abaya l'Rava, b'niskegu fo mai daitre. What is it that led you to your conclusion? D'tanya mafkir kamosha chaviros madar, rohino to kama itaya fekodem l'ken, v'kame yofala achar b'ken, v'lo b'shishim lo katani. What led you to this was the fact that you didn't see anybody talking about a larger area to estimate within the before and after. Otugabi ben tonami milo tanya ke agavna. Are you trying to tell me that we don't find examples of that when it comes to behemat hamazik? D'tanya. Here, I'm going to show you. Kotma niti'a. Comes in now an animal and eats up a sapling. Oh, gosh, right after you plant it, terrible. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gozrei Gezerot Shebi Yerushalayim Omrim, there was in Ksuvis, a special Gozrei Gezerot, the Mishnah talks about Hanan, Amitri, and Admon, and so on. They made certain set payments. So the Gozrei Gezerot, these were types of knasot, basically, in which, look, we're not going to allow Hefkerut, everybody goes to court, we start analyzing. We set down payments. So they said, Netiya Bachnata, saplings within its first year, you're going to pay Shtei Kesef. We're not going to start analyzing. It's in its second year, Arba Kesef. Fine. Now this is not Nogea. Let's go on. Achlach Aziz. Animal goes into a Sada and eats young sprouted grape. That's still only one third grown. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, look, find the stand of the grain that the animal didn't eat. Follow it along till the time of the harvest. Take a look at what this field would be worth if the whole thing were that size and that quality. And that allows you to determine what it is that he should pay, because that shows you the level of growth that he destroyed. Now, obviously, you didn't really destroy that. However, these, again, are possibly gezerot or kedasot in order to force people to be a little bit more careful and not say, well, I mean, anyway, that's just a groma. I'm not going to pay for the groma. That's not. Yes, sir?
An owner anticipates working on his field in order to cut it and benefit.
We're going to talk about that.
Labor debt.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. The Chachamim Omrim. The Chachamim say, no. There was never any such takana. Look at the futures. You're not responsible for the futures. As we've been saying all along, Ro'imota, Kamai Tayafa, Kamai Hiyafa. Take a look. By the way, they don't say a word about Shishim. Exactly the same word as by the case that misled you, says Abaya, by the Adam HaMazik and Ikerem. So same thing over here, by an animal. Chamim come along and they say, look at the field, what it was worth before. Somebody would have bought it. Again, I mentioned yesterday, there's a Machlokas Rishonim. For Brashi, it's Mashma that we're talking about the actual value of buying the field, the property itself, which the other Rishonim feel that the difference between 1 year's growth before and after is so minor when you're talking about the purchase of a piece of property that it would be completely unfair to the poor Nizek to say, well, let's see what the property is worth. But that's crazy. Therefore, many Rishonim say, we're not talking about the sale of the property. We're talking about the sale of the year's produce, where people will buy an option to the produce, or they'll actually buy the produce in advance. There, you find the difference. Fine. So, but not a word about Shishim, right? Become a Yafa. Now, when it comes to a Kerem, a Chlasibadar, the animal comes in and eats the very tiny grapes, just as they're beginning to grow, and you could recognize them as actual fruit. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ro'ino Tankilo Anavim Omdoti Batzer. Rabbi Yoshua says, look, you take a look at the ultimate value of those grapes. Very similar to what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said about Nidon Shebimishuyar. But, as Tosis explains, Rabbi Yoshua limits this to vineyards, because he says, in a vineyard, you don't look at the Mishuyar. In a field, you do. Why? Because a field generally responds en masse. In other words, whatever the situation is in one area of the field is going to affect the entire field. So if you got now, let's say, 73% of your normal yield, and only 73%, because there wasn't enough rain, or maybe there was a blight, or whatever happened, was undoubtedly going to happen to the rest of the field. Therefore, it's fair to estimate the value based on what's left. But when it comes to a vineyard, one of the idiosyncrasies of the vine is that you can't judge from one grape to another, even though you're in the same vineyard, because you can often have a particular area or cluster does not do well, whereas there's other things that really do. So we assume, again, this is Begetter and Gezeira, we assume that these grapes are going to, that these are grapes that are going to do well, they're obdotli batzer. Fine. The Sechomim said, oh, same thing. Take a look at the very earth itself. How much was it worth? How much is it worth now? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, as we already said in the Mishnah. Look, all of this discussion is about looking at something, how much it was, how much it will be within a field, and nobody's yet mentioned Shishim. I mean, are you really believe we've forgotten about the whole din? Ah, come on. So, Babe Devar Mamurin, Bizman Shakla Lula Vegifanim, Yichurei Deinim. This is talking about where you just eat the lulav and the yichur. Now, the lulav and the yichur has no fruit on it at all. You can see little bumps where the fruit will be on the lulav. The lulav and the yichur is the same thing, except one is the vine. The lulav is the vine. The yichur is the cluster of the teina, of the fig. But in both cases, you see bumps. You don't see a fruit. Aval achla pagim obosa. If you already got to the place, and again, these are the same things in different species. So a pag is a young fig, which is where fig comes from. And a boser is the equivalent idea of a young grape. It's beyond the level of simadar, but it's not yet fully ripened. It's the size of a pol alavan, as the Gemara says elsewhere. So, you know, tarkil lanavim avdoti batzer. So this is Rabbi Shimon again. If it's already well-developed and well-formed, forget about it. It's as if it's a fully ripened fruit. Take a look at it in and of itself. Okay. Says a Pai, I don't care which shita you want to go according to, okay? Let's take the normative shita as the Chachamim. I mean, nobody's mentioned anything. Let's take the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Rohinotan, Kamai Tayafa, Kamai Hiyafa, as if there's no larger area. We look at the exact area that was damaged. Now, what about the Shishim, huh? Or what about the Tarkav? I mean, whatever the shear was. Nobody says a word about it. So obviously, they're ma'itak lamema. So what are you going to say? Yeah, they're taking for granted, of course, that whatever that share is. They're just not coming to discuss it because you already know about it. So ma'itak lamema, what are you going to say back to me? Well, of course it means b'shishim. Thank you. That's my point. It's the same thing as true when it came to the kerem of the guy who was mashchit the kerem. We say, we look at what it was before, we look at what it was, yeah, right. But that means not b'shishim. Could also mean b'shishim. You yourself have to admit, how could that mean b'shishim? That we don't always talk about the whole 9 yards. We've already established that. Now let's move on and discuss what particularly the cases are of the damage. Okay, so now we don't have any reason, says Abaye, to believe Rava's distinction between Adama Mazik and Shena Mazik. Basically, the Torah has defined the nature of estimating Hezek. Omer Abaye, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yishmael, Omru Davar Echad. Now this is an astonishing Gemara, which seems to throw out the window one of the most well-established points that we did early in the Masechta. That's why Divrei Torah, Adim B'Mokom Echad, Ashirim B'Mokom Acher, Tainez Rabbi Yossi, Tainez Abaye. Now look, this Rabbi Yossi Aglili that just said over here, that, you know, you got to take a look at what's going to be. I mean, let's take a look at whatever's left. There's a little spot that's left. Take a look how well it does until the actual harvest, and use that as your benchmark for the value of what was damaged. Now, gentlemen, this is a whole new idea. Do you remember back at the beginning of the Masechta, we had that amazingly central machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? What does the Torah mean when it says, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo Yishalem? Does it mean the Nizik or the Mazik? So first we had this wild shot that maybe Rabbi Shmuel held, whatever his best field is, you got to pay even though you damaged his worst field. What? It's crazy. You damaged junk, you're going to pay good. How could that be? All right, I'll mean that. I mean, if we don't know, so then we look at the best part. What? Says the Gemara. Might be Chaver Olam Araya. What kind of business is that? All right. I give up, says the Gemara. Must be the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Both were talking about how to estimate the damage. And they were talking, not how to estimate the damage, but rather how to determine Meitav. We're talking about what is the best. Question is, they were arguing over the Torah is the best. Who's best? Is it whatever the Mazik has is his best? That's the best? Or the best means whatever the Nizik has. And we talked about what would be the nafkamina if the fields didn't match up precisely. Do you have to go a step above? Can you go a step below? Fine. That's what we took for granted. Comes along goodbye and says an amazing thing. Nobody thought at the time, you know, maybe what Rabbi Shmuel meant was exactly what he said. Meitav Sadehu, meaning, take a look, how well does it do? That's the Meitav. Whatever is left. Exactly what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says. You don't know now how well it's going to do. So at this point, everybody would be paying risk-taking, right? No. Wait till the end of the year. Let's take a look at whatever's left in the field. There's 50% left after the animal ate. Okay, how well did that 50% do? Wow, it was a great year. Okay, that's Beit HaSadeh, isn't it? Fantastic. Whole new approach. Tainas Abaya, wow. Now that we see this, clearly that's what Rabbi Yishmael meant all along. So therefore, Tainas Abaya, that Rabbi Yishmael meant exactly what Rabbi Yosef really said. The Tanya, Beit HaSadeh, Beit HaKarmel Yishalem. This means, says Rabbi Yishmael, Beit HaSadeh Shal Nizik. Beit HaKarmel Shal Nizik. That's what Shal Nizik means. Rabbi Akiva says, what are you talking about? Lo ba'akatuv, ela likvot v'nezikim mina idit. You see how much better this fits in anyway, right? Because all along we were bothered by the language in Rabbi Akiva. Well, the Torah was only coming to talk about how to collect. I mean, Rabbi Shimon was also talking about how to collect, the way we learned the fact in the first parent. So we had to dray around to figure out why he used that language. The way Abaya is learning, it makes perfectly good sense. Rabbi Shimon is talking about how to estimate the damage. Rabbi Akiva is coming on and saying, the Torah is not talking about estimating the damage. The Torah is talking about how to pay the damage. And now, it's a Kalva Chomer LaHegash. Please, says Abaya, don't even consider that crazy pshat that we had originally. Lo Tevik Ravidi Baravin. Ravidi Baravin said, well, take a guess, you know. It ate an aruga, you don't know what the aruga is. Tekigot Shakla, aruga bin arugot. And we don't know what kind of aruga it was. We don't have any satellite pictures of the field, so we can't compare the before and the after. Maybe that's what he meant. Lo Yadidan, Ikechusha Avoy, Ishmena Avoy. And so we tell him, you know what? Since we don't know, you go ahead and you pay the best. Kum Shlim Shemena, B'meit Avdika Hashta. Look at the best right now. Nah, that I would never say, says Abaya. I also think that's crazy. Achilo Amrina, my time of Motzibek Avela Maraya. As we properly said back in the first parak, we will not accept that pshat. Okay, so you were stuck with the only other pshat that you knew. The only other pshat that you knew was that he's agreeing with Rabbi Akiva, and they're only arguing about whose field. I say, no, that's not the point. The point is, Ella, the Meitav Dilekame. Let's talk about futures. The idea is watch what happens. That's the idea. Umayniu, keich the solik. The way it's going to be when you've got the tractors in the field harvesting. That's what it means. Now, Tosfos is very bothered. How do you have a Masechta that goes through from the beginning on one idea, and now all of a sudden we go 180 degrees, say, no, it means something else completely. It's wild. Well, we couldn't have brought this originally. We had to live with this misconception for 70 daf, or 60 daf. So Tosfos says, no, he's not changing the mind. He's saying there's two different levels of this machlokas. We can't deny that on one level, Rabbi Akiva keeps saying, no, this is all the Torah means. See, Rabbi Shmuel is saying there's two issues here. Meitav Sadeo Shal Nizik, yes, that's true, for the Tashlumin. But it's also talking about Meitav Sadeo Shal Nizik in the estimation. To which Rabbi Akiva replies, no, the Torah is only coming. See, says Abaya. Now, if you wait long enough, every last tear becomes clear. There's two separate issues that they're arguing. This is how Tosfos understands it. The basis of his ability to say this is the fact that Rabbi Akiva is saying, Ella. What's the Ella? Ella means we're agreed in part that we're talking about how to pay, even though we're disagreeing if it's Nizik or Mazik. But I say we're not agreed. I don't think we're talking about estimating. We're talking about paying. Ella. That's all it's talking about. Excellent. So now Aitaina, that boils down to the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Lili. Let's take a look. If we have an example, what we do is, this is done very often in laboratories, right? In other words, you take a sample, take a look at what the sample would be, then we can now statistically extrapolate to what would have been the entire thing. Same thing is true over here. This is the basis of taking polls, right? It's all statistics. So take it out, a field, look at what you've got, now extrapolate statistically to what would have been. That's the lekame. Okay, now, you also mentioned a very interesting point before, which I didn't want to stop you in the middle of your discussion, but which made absolutely no sense, because you contradicted yourself. There's three stages. Yichur, or lulav, depending if you're talking about the ta'ina, or you're talking about the vine. And then we have the simadar, and then we have the boser. Now, those are three different things. And you contradict yourself, because you took the boser and the simadar, and you confused them over here. So we've got boser, or pag, but then we've got this equivalent of the smaller simadar, which you now contradicted yourself with, because first you said, Rabbi Shimon ben Yudom and Mishur Rabbi Shimon, the only time we estimated agav, the property, is babet var mumishachla lulave yefani. Yichurei te'inim, okay? Now, yichurei means no fruit at all, just bumps. Uh-huh. Okay, but had there been a fruit, even if it's a tiny fruit, it's just a simadar, then already you got to pay. And then 2 minutes later, we get to the Seifa, and there you start talking about Pagim or Bosar, which is way beyond the stage of Simadar. Now, how in the world did that happen? So then you're saying, Dafka Pagim or Bosar. Who the Roidot Tankilo Omdot Anavim Omdot Libatser? The only reason that we are going to pay full value is because, well, they've already reached the stage of Bosar, or Pag for the Taina. But if it would only have reached the stage of Simadar, no way. That would be the equivalent of Yichur. Make up your mind. Is it Simadar or is it Bosar that we now are ready to start paying full value for our Libra Rabbi Shimon? HaSimadar. But the Mashmaot is here, that if indeed it were only the level of Simadar, Ro'inotot Kame Yafa V'Kame Ta Yafa, then we're already ready to start analyzing now this distinction. I don't get it. Omer Ravina, says Ravina, well, yeah, look, the only way to approach this is Kroch V'Tani. I mean, obviously, he meant to get into saying, Yichurim, but if it would be what I said before, Simadar and certainly Boser, that's what he means. If there's anything beyond that, like Simadar and Boser. So say it like this. Where there's nothing but bumps. But anything beyond bumps, like Simadar or Pagim or Boser, I mean, I don't care what it is. They could be smaller, they could be bigger. That's the point. Well, if that's the point, so then what's the difference between Reb Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua? But that's what Rabbi Yeshua said. Rabbi Yeshua said, Achlas Simadar, top line of the page, Rabbi Yeshua mero ino tan ki ilo ein anavim amdoti batser. And now you're saying, and I say, absolutely not. Only if they were Yichurim, then do we say that you analyze it agav the karka. But if they were Simadar, I disagree totally. I say Simadar, ro ino tan ki ilo ein anavim amdoti batser. What? That's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua said. Now what are you arguing about? There's no machlokas here. You made it a machlokas. Oh, that's true. There's another issue between the lines that we didn't discuss that is indeed different between the two shitot. And what is that? You're forgetting that there are elements that you're also saving the guy by causing the damage. This is the issue that Abba brought up before. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about the damage as if there were no other expenses that would have been associated with it. Lamaisa, if these grapes would have grown to term, so then they would have cost you. I mean, one of the most significant costs that you would have had in growing them to term would be the fact that your vineyard was significantly affected. You lost basically 10% of the life that you've got in these vines. You can't keep these vines forever, so you're going to weaken them. Every time you've got a full-term grape out of those vines, you're taking another piece, another year, out of the longevity of the vines. You've got to deduct that. Now, that is between the lines. That is different between them. It's true that the language doesn't clarify who holds what. I agree. So, lo misaime. We don't know who holds what. But this is definitely the issue. Says the Bible, what do you mean we don't know who holds what? Of course we know who holds what. I mean, we're not taking into consideration the well-known shita of Reb Shimon bar Yehuda all over the place. Reb Shimon bar Yehuda says, always look at future costs. And I'll bring you a perfect example. Abayomer misaimu misaimu. It's absolutely clear who holds what. Because mantana dechayesh kachashkufna, who is the man the Amr who says you got to look at all of the associated future possible losses? That's Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. Detanya, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Reb Shimon ben Manasya. An ones, a rapist, does not pay for the tsar, meaning the tsar of the loss of her betulin, which is painful. But that's always going to be painful. Anytime that she's going to now have the first intercourse, it's going to be painful. So why should he pay for that pain, that particular pain? Obviously, there's other pain that's associated with this, you know, the rape itself and so on. Fine, that we'll talk about separately. But not that pain. She's going to be suffering that at one point or another anyway. So therefore, we have to take into consideration her ultimate losses against this. Well, that's exactly the same svara. And the truth is, even the Chachamim only argue with him because they claim that in the actual pain of the loss of her betulim, she's going to suffer more by the violence than by a caring husband. So because of that, they say to him, "Ein adom nivelet b'ratzon, nili nivelet ba'ones." But the fact that we need to take into consideration, what are your ultimate costs in this anyway? Are you going to be able to just pay her because of the fact that she suffered? I mean, that's like saying, we're going to pay for the grapes and not discuss the suffering that the vine would have had anyway. It's very interesting, by the way, the relationship of betulah to grapes and to vines. You find throughout Masechet Nida, all of the different shiurim, the size of her breasts, the development of the genitals, always in terms of boser, exactly the same lishonot is here. Fascinating, right? This is karka bitula, basically what we talk about. And then, of course, all of the issue of sexuality in Gan Eden is all in terms of grapes. That's the gefen that is associated later with the Yetzer Hara and so on. It's fascinating. But anyway, that's an aside. So getting back to our sugya, that would be there for Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, says Abaya. It's now clear that Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is the one who talks about futures. Truth is, so do the Chachamim here. I mean, as Tosfos points out, I'm not claiming that the Chachamim necessarily argue it. On the contrary, they're only saying that because of the fact that it's a different level of tzar. Fine. But I'm saying if you're limited to a machlokas between two shitot, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda and Reb Yehoshua, I know which one holds what, because it's clear that Reb Shimon ben Yehuda holds that we take into consideration what's going to be coming. Says Abaya, well, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, as Abba pointed out, because the following Tanoim that I'm going to quote you in a moment actually expand this concept. And they're saying the same thing that Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says. You've always got to look at the associated cost. So they're saying davar echad. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, as I just explained to you, Hadamoran, look at associated costs. When I'm talking about the following Tanoim, what am I talking about? The Hani Tanoim Mahi? Here, listen. Just tell you. Reb Yehuda Omer, look, we're talking about, in that case, this machlokas here is talking about somebody, again, Dmei Vladot, a guy hits a woman and she loses now her pregnancy. All kinds of tashlumin are associated with that. On the one hand, we've got the woman herself. Now that's completely separate from the Dmei Vladot that are going to the husband. The woman suffers pain, woman suffers doctor bills, and so on and so forth. That's a separate suit. The husband, and remember, it doesn't mean the husband, the impregnator, as we said before, sues for the loss of his lovely embryos. A separate issue. So now, in that case, Reb Yossi says, well, it's all very nice. You can figure out the value of an embryonic human on the market, but you have to deduct the price of the midwife who would have delivered the full-term baby. You now save them a lot of money. So, nechechaya, deduct the price of the doctor bills for the pregnancy. All those ultrasounds and so on and so forth, that comes off the bottom line. You may end up owing him money, heck. Okay? Benazai says, she's going to be eating more. She's going to be eating for two. Whether there's different shittas, is it in terms of pregnancy, in terms of the period immediately after the pregnancy, which she needs to recover? Is it talking about during the entire nursing period? What the heck? You owe this guy money. So you got to deduct all of those mezonos also. So all associated costs that would have been there need to be deducted from whatever payment is. What Abba was just pointing out was that we'd have to take into consideration what it would have cost to bring these dates to term. You can't just talk about the grapes or the dates, or the figs, rather, as they are. Now, obviously, there's a difference. I mean, man diomer nechi chaya, kosh kenechi mezonot. The straight cost of the chaya, which may or may not be there. I mean, very often the doctor doesn't make it, or you don't call a doctor, or this is one of these women that likes to deliver at home, or this is a woman whose husband likes to deliver at home and save all the doctor bills. So nonetheless, he's saying chaya. Kosh kenechi mezonot, there's no way to avoid. That's absolute chiyuv. He's got to provide it with mezonot. Man diomer nechi mezonot. He would say, okay, but how do you know there's going to be doctor bills? And Chaya, maybe not. The Omarle, look, when the guy wants to deduct, the husband says, no, wait a minute. This girl is absolutely top. She never calls the doctor. Always has a baby at home. Always takes it all natural. And Itta Didi, my wife, is a Pikichai, like the midwives told the Paro. They're all Chayot, you know. What are you going to do? They never call the midwife. You know, these Jews, they save a buck wherever they can. So they take care of their own births. So we don't have a chance to kill the Zachari. Velomi boi chaya. They don't require a chaya at all. Rav Papa, Rav Unabrei, the Rav Yeshua, who were both Ovidruv de Kavasi, the Rav Nachman, they both went ahead and collected the shishim. The case that we had before, the guy who cut down the deck out, they did the same thing. Estimated it within 60 dekalim. But there's another lashon that says, Lishna Akrina, is that Rav Papa and Rav Unabrei, the Yeshua, shamu dikla, Agav Katina Diara. What they did is they took a small piece of land that the dekel was on, not shishim, and they made the shuma connected that small piece of land. By the way, there's a machlokas there among the Nisei Kalim of the Rambam as to whether this means, and then they took that piece of land within shishim, or whether it means only Agav Katina Diara. Okay. But Davka Bedikla de Armoa. When it comes to a sheep dekel, which is a dikla arma'a, those are the kinds of common palms. But when you're talking about a dikla parsa'a is an extremely valuable tree, even till today in Persia, in Iraq. The value of a dekel, a person's wealth, can be measured. It's like it's a place in camels. It can be measured in dekalim. and the number of the Kohen. It has nothing to do with the size of the field and so on. The Dekel itself is extremely chashuv. Once you have something that's extremely chashuv, you can't evaluate it in terms of anything else. So since it is that chashuv, that's what the Resh Galuta, there we would pass like a Resh Galuta. You look at the actual value of the tree that you killed, that you destroyed. And that, by the way, is, Tosfos says, those who try to explain that Dina de Parsa'a is referring to about a Persian Dekel, right?
No, not Persian Din.
Right, not Persian Din. It's Persian Dekel. But I didn't do a Persian Dekel, and he's dealing with me as if it were a Persian Dekel. So this guy was pretty smart.
Now, the Ra'ah says that despite the fact that we're talking about over here being Sham the Dekel all on its own, that's only, according to the Ra'ah, only because we're dealing with Nizkei Adam and not dealing with Nizkei Behemah. So in other words, it comes out that according to him, at the end of the sug, even though Abaye attacked Rava and said, we don't find sufficient grounds for such a thing, that indeed, at the end of the sugya, we're going along with the distinction between Nizkei Adam and Nizkei Behemah.
Well, yes, there's the Ira. Now, this is very, very appropriate to our times, where there's always people who decide they're going to be more religious than the other guy. So Eliezer Ze'ira decided that he's going to wear black suits and black shirts and black hats, and that way he's going to look far more religious. But that's not the reason that he put on black. He put on black because he was in mourning for the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. So he went out and did an outrageous thing. He wore black shoelaces, which, I mean, nobody in their right mind would wear black shoelaces unless they're actually in mourning. Okay, so he goes out, he's in the middle of the market, and he's b'sayim masani uchme, which Tosfos explains doesn't mean his shoes were black, because everybody wore black shoes, but I mean, you needed to have nice decorative shoelaces, so you wore white shoelaces. It also means that he was wearing black suits, says Tosfos, a black hat, so he went black, completely black. So they arrested him. So exactly the fashion. Well, the Israeli religious police. They said, "What the heck is this all about? Maishna hani masani. What are you going around looking like you're in mourning?" Amalu de kama vilna Yerushalayim. Well, I'm in avelut over the destruction of Yerushalayim. Oh, they said. All of a sudden, a big shot. So you're a guy who is so chashuv that you can be in avelut in Yerushalayim. Now we're going to establish new norms that every idiot who wants to be in avelut on Yerushalayim, he can be in avelut in Yerushalayim. Next thing you know, people go wearing these big yarmulkes that say Nach Nachman and dance around the streets, and they are besimcha. That's all we need, is to have everybody deciding. This is the end of Klal Yisrael if we allow this to go on. So Atcha Shivat Dabulei Yerushalayim, you are all of a sudden, you're Chashev. Sova you are Ohavi. They decided that this guy is a stuck up good for nothing, and they threw him in jail. This is, by the way, is a shaila in general, a question about the chashinan leyura, whether you're allowed to do things that make you look stuck up or not. There's usur. Then there's also a question of whether that's even betzina as a machlokas. Whether betzina even you're allowed to do things, because it's an internal arrogance to think that you're roy to do this and to do that. But over here, we're talking about a public nuisance. Because that's the point. He was in the middle of the kaiba shuka de narda. That was the problem. You're making yourself a public nuisance by attempting to establish new religious norms. It's outrageous. So they threw him into jail. Amarlo, so he said, you can't throw me into jail. I am, in fact, a great man. This is what Winston Churchill said to the guy that was, he had a valet. And so they actually got into a fight. Churchill insulted him, and he insults Churchill. He says, how do you talk to me like that? He says, you spoke to me like that. He says, but I'm a great man. Anyway, so he says, I'm a great man, and I can, in fact, be Miss Abel in Yerushalayim. Lamaisa, the Mephoshan asked, he once told somebody he's a great man, the guy was about to throw him into the river, right? And he put him in a sack, thinking that it was the guy that's been stealing his stuff, and was about to drown him. And he says, wait, oh, it's terrible, we're going to drown. And he never forgave himself the rest of his life that he had utilized the Koyach HaTorah to save himself. And here, what, this guy is, he's coming and he's saying, yo, I'm a great man, how can you do such a thing? Vaila Tarfin. Say the answer that Reb Tarfin was rich enough to buy his way out. And he should have. He had no right not to use it. He didn't have any money. I was going to buy himself out. But the more likely explanation is the teretz that's offered, that they put him at the jail of Chathila to establish whether he was an Adam Gadol who had a right to do what he was doing, or whether he's just an arrogant idiot. So he told him, look, you're making a mistake. I am an Adam Gadol, and let's get to the bottom of it, and I'll prove it to you. So Amru Lemi Nayadina, how do we know that you're an Adam Gadol? Amarlo, I said, okay, either you ask me something, or I'll ask you something. And as I've pointed out many times, in those days, the way that you prove you're an Adam Gadol is by the time the questions, not the kind of answers. Everybody's got answers, right?
So either, look, but he didn't know who he was dealing with. Maybe they're idiots who think that an unabgadol is somebody who gives answers. So he said, either you ask me a question, I'll ask you a question. So they were smart enough to say, no, you ask us. Boat, you ask us. So he says, and this of course is why it's an arsa. Yeah? He says, what would be the din? I mind the cuts kufra. My mishali. A guy, now kufra is boser, as we saw, except that it's the equivalent in a date tree. Okay, so what does he pay? Mrulay, mishali to make kufra. He pays for that value. I mean, it wasn't worth very much. Says Eliezer to them, what do you mean? I mean, that's not fair. Avi Tamre. I mean, these things are going to grow up into beautiful dates. Omerle, yeah, I guess you're right. Mishalim to make Tamre. I guess you pay dates. What do you mean? But they're not Tamre. I'll have Tamre shakar b'nar. But he didn't take Tamarim. So is it fair to now establish it on the basis if they were Tamarim? Omerle, okay, we give up. You tell us. Amel anad. Omerle, you take the value with the karka for somebody who would be buying the payroad and take into consideration the futures, see it within the karka, 60 times as much. That's the answer. Amalo, oh man, that is so complicated. I mean, can you prove that? Because I've never heard of such a crazy thing. Who says that? Amalo, he says, look, Baruch Hashem, Shmuel is alive, his Beit Din is Kayam. Go ahead, send in the Shaila. Get on the internet and then ask you to send an email. So Shmuel Kalei to Shmuel. So they sent the case to Shmuel. He said, he told you exactly the din. Amalo Shapik Armalach. He told you exactly the halacha. Bishishim. Bishavkua, they let him out. Bishimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, if the peirot are gemurim, you pay peirot gemurim, my time. Says, because when the Torah says, ubir b'stei acher, adem rakon ubir b'stei acher, which taught us, was all basis, balamid, sheshamina gabe ha-sadeh, that's only where it's part of a sadeh. It's only reasonable, animili, emitted it tzarech l'sadeh, it's still growing, so it's part of a sadeh. But once it's fully growing, if they're no longer requiring a sadeh, what in the world does the sadeh have to do with them? Now, this is a little bit strange because, I mean, the only case that we found in the Mishnah where this is Rabbi Shimon is talking about a complete Shuma where we look at it as if it's Perot Gemurim is only where it is Perot Gemurim. And here he's talking about things that are not Perot Gemurim, and he's saying we treat them as if they're Perot Gemurim, which basically leads Tosfos to explain it obviously. The whole discussion over here, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, and so we're talking about things that are Shalim. What we mean is that they're smadar, boser, as the case may be, or the case of the field, with the shachas, wherever we're going to do something like that. Of course, it always means agav karka. It's just a question of what point agav karka. Do we say a field that was fully grown that is missing, or a field that might have grown that was missing? That's the difference between the cases of smadar. But the case where it's actually perot gemurim, which we're talking about over here, which he's explaining meaning non-dependency on the sadeh, that's a whole different issue, and that's what the Mishnah was talking about. And over there, indeed, it's not agav karka at all. This is Tosfos' approach. Amr Vuna Barchia, Amr Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Dan Rav Karabi Meir, Upasak Yochita Karabi Shimon. There were two places where Rab violated the norms of Psak. He actually paskened and did a din, halakha lamaisa, in court, like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll discuss. Normally the rule is, machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, you paskened like Rabbi Yehuda. But he was done like Rabbi Meir. And he paskened like Rabbi Shimon against the Chachomim, in our issue. He didn't actually carry on in court, but he taught in his base of Medrash. That's the halakha lamaisa. What are the two cases? Dan Rav Rabbi Meir, Titania, Katav l'rishon v'lo chatmalo, l'sheni v'chatmalo, avdak tuvata de Rabbi Meir. A guy comes to his wife, and he says, look, I want to sell the field. Say, what do you mean? Sell that field. What am I going to collect my ketuvah from? I'm not signing on this sale. You can't sell that field without my agreement, because this was the field that was set aside for me to collect my ketuvah from. So she absolutely refuses. Comes back a half a year later, he's got another, says, look, I got a much better deal. Sign. This time, she signs. Says Rabbi Meir, look, then she lost her ksuv. If it turns out the guy dies, he's got nowhere else to collect from. She can't come back and say, no, but I was under pressure from my husband. So if you were under pressure from your husband, you would have signed the first time. So obviously, you have the guts to stand up to your husband. So if you didn't stand up to your husband the second time, then it means you went along with it. So therefore, you lost your ksuv. So it says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, a woman can always say, Yecholai shetomar nachat ruach asiti lebali. Atem, malachem alai. Leave me alone. My husband is pressuring me. You can never judge a woman who gives in to something her husband wants. So maybe the first time, he didn't pressure me enough. I mean, you know, what kind of sword is that? Comes along Rav, and he actually took a case where a woman was trying to collect a ketuvah from a field that had been sold, claiming her lien was there first. He wouldn't let her collect. And then there was Pasak Yochotak Rabbi Shimon,
like our Mishnah. Yad Itzah. Rabbi Shimon Amar Achlap Perot Gmurim. Mishalem Et Perot Gmurim. Im Sa'ah Sa'ah Im Sa'atah Im Sa'atah Im. Said Rav in the Beis HaMidrash. That exactly is the halacha. Got to Gabi Be'em Donami Milotani Ke'a Gavna Detani Katma Nitiya. Rabbi Yossi Amar Gozer Gezerot Shepir Shalayim Omrim Nitiya Bat Shnatat Shtei Kesef Bat Shtei Shalim Arba Kesef Achla Chazitz. Rabbi Yossi Gvil Omer Nidon Ben Mishuyar Shepo Vechamim Omrim Orin Ota Kama Ita Yafa Vakama Yafa. Achlas Madar, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Roin Ota Kilo Ena Navim Avdot Ibatzer, Chamim Omrim Roin Kama Ita Yafa Kama Yafa. Rishuven Yud Omer Bishum Rabbi Shimon, Bamed, Varim Omer Bizman Shachla Lula Vegifanim Viyichurei Teinim, Aval, Achla Pagim O Bosa, Roin Otam Ki Ilo Anavim, Omdot Ibatzer. Anyway, Katani Miyot Vachachamim Omrim, Roin Ota Kama Ita Yafa Vakama Yafa, Volo Katani Bishishim, Ela Bait Lach Lamem Rabbi Shishim, Fine, Tzachinam Rabbi Shishim. Amr Abaye, Rabbi Yosef Gleil, Rabbi Shmuel Amr Davar Achad, Rabbi Yosef Gleil Adi Amaran, Rabbi Shmuel Datanya, Metav Sadeh, Metav Karbo Yishalem, this means Metav Sadeh Shal Nizik, Metav Karbo Shal Nizik, Div Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Ba HaKatuv, Ela Legvot, Nizik Min HaIdit, Vekava Kor La Hegdesh. Velo Teimam, don't even consider Rabbi Yidi Bar Avin's Pshat. Dom Rabbi Yidi Bar Avin, Konshachla, Aruga, Bin Arugas, Liyadina, Ikush Havoy, Shmein Havoy, that the Torah is coming along to say, Kum Shlim Shmeina Bebeitab, Mitzad HaSofek, the Kahashta, Nach, Achilamina. My time wants to be a real of a raya. Elba Meita de la Kamei is what we're talking about. I knew, Kech the Solik, which is basically Rabbi Yossi Aguilib in Meshuyah. Omrama, Rabshivim, Yenu Mimshim, Rishwim, Vedavar, Mimshach, Lulu, Lavego Fanim, Vichore Teinim, Asimadar, Rinatakino, and Avim of Dodli Batsir. Ema Seifa, Achla Pagim of Bosser. Who the Roinot Akilo and Avim of Dodi Batser? Ha Semadar, Roinot Akami Yafa, Vagamai Tayafa, Omravina Kroch Vitani, Bamed, Varma Muri, Bizman Shakla Lula Vega Fanim, Yukuritainim, Avalaklas, Madar, Pagino, Bosa, Roinot Akilo and Avim of Dodi Batser, Yoki, Ripshiman, Yanai, and Rabbi Yoshua, you're right. But between the lines, Zikmedel Krash Kufna, but Lomisaime. Abai Omer, what do you mean, lo mesayme? You're darn right mesayme. Man tada de chayish kachosh kufin. It's obviously Reb Shimon Yudei. The ten Reb Shimon Yudei Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Mevinas, yeah? Oh, they say to Mishalem et HaTzar, if there's a sofal, it's there tachat ba'ala. Omru lo, ino domi nivelet b'ratzon, nivelet ba'ones. Omer Abai, hani tadoi, Reb Shimon Yudei, omru dobar achad. Reb Shimon Yudei, the Amor, hani tadoi, I am referring to this. The ten Reb Yossi Omer, Nechi chaya for dmei meladot, and Benazir Omer nechi mizonot. So Mandi Omer nechi chaya. Koshkin dmei mizonot. Mandi Omer dmei mizonot. Nechi mizonot. Nechi chaya lo. The Omer lait tadidei pekichei. Lo mi boi chaya. Reb Popper Vunenberg the Reb Yeshua but Uza Kavatir Reb Nachman b'shishim lishnachlina. Reb Popper Vunenberg the Reb Yeshua somu dikla agav ketina diara. Yochta Kavatir Reb Popper Vunenberg the Reb Yeshua b'dikla da arma. Eliezer Zira Visaiba Bisani Uchme Vakoi Bashuka de Narado. Ashkahu the Verish Galuta, Maomrele, Maishna Hanimasani, Omlo, what can I do? Come on, Vilna Yerushalayim. Omrele, oh little boy, Atrashiva Lita Budaya Yerushalayim. Ha! Sava, you are over there, Ave Anat Yuva Kapshu. Omalu, lo, lo, Gavra Rabba. All of a sudden he wasn't Eliezer the little one, you know. But they probably called him that Hashem is Anivut. So Amrule Minayadi, huh? Amalu, oh aton boy minoy milto ana boy minaychu milto. Amrule, boy at. Amalu, okay. I'm on the cat's kufra, my mishale. Amrule, misham de me kufra. What do you mean? How can that be? Avi tamre. Okay. Misham de me tamre. No, but come on. A left time mishako minay. Okay, we give up. Ema at. So ema lanat. Amalu bishishim. Amalu, malama kavate. Amalo, Shmuel Chai, Betino Kayam, Shodukame, the Shmuel, Amalo, Shapukame, the Kabashishim, Bishavkua. Rabbi Shimon Omar, Akhla Perot Gmurim, my time up. Hodi Amrak, when a beer be stay acher. But Lamish Shamina Gabea Sade, Hani mean a meal that's sorrowless Sade, but Hani, given a lot sorrowless Sade, Beinayo Baishalumi. Omer Vunabaki, Omer Beer Mabaraba, Dan Rav, Rabbi Meir, against the rules, or Pazaka, Rabbi Shimon against the rules. Dan Ravka Rabbi Meir the Tanya Katavlu Rishon Velo Katmalo, and then the husband sells the sheni and she signs on. But Katmalo Avdak Tuva Tadiv Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yudomer Yecholai Shetomar Nachaturach Asiti Labali Atem Malachem Alai. Uposak Yochot Rabbi Shimon Ki Odetan Rabbi Shimon Amerach LaPerot Gmurim Mishalemet Perot Gmurim Im Saa Saa Im Saatayim Saatayim.